You're listening to a message from Victory Dumaguete.
For this Christmas season, this December, our series is entitled Rediscovering Christmas. We're going to look at Christmas with a fresh perspective by zeroing in on the birth of Jesus, by looking into the gospel accounts and the ones written by Paul as well. We're going to rediscover once again how Jesus' birth came to be and how this greatly impacts us, why this is such a big deal that every year we come to celebrate it during Christmas time. Before we talk about the trees, the decorations, the food and everything, let's zero in muna on the main reason why we're celebrating Christmas and why it's such a big deal for us. So this is a 4-week series. For tonight, we're going to talk about Jesus and the Messiah. And next week naman, we're going to talk about Jesus, the King for all. And the 3rd week, we're talking about Jesus, the God-man. And the 4th week, we're going to close with Jesus, the Redeemer. Okay, basically, those are different aspects of Jesus. So this week, we're going to talk about Jesus, the Messiah. In relation to His birth, why is it that He is the Messiah? And how does this affect us? So if you have your Bibles with you, kindly ready them to Matthew chapter 1, verses 18 to 25. Can I request everyone to please stand in reverence the word? It says there in verse 18, "Now the birth of Jesus Christ took place in this way. When His mother Mary had been betrothed to Joseph, before they came together, she was found to be with child from the Holy Spirit. And her husband Joseph, being a just man and unwilling to put her to shame, resolved to divorce her quietly. But as he considered these things, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, saying, 'Joseph, son of David, do not fear to take Mary as your wife, for that which is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit.'" Verse 21, "She will bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. All this took place to fulfill what the Lord had spoken by the prophet: Behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which means God with us. When Joseph woke up from sleep, he did as the angel of the Lord commanded him. He took his wife, but he knew her not until she had given birth to a son, and he called his name Jesus." As I said a while ago, for this series, as we look into the birth of Jesus, we're going to look into the different gospel accounts and the one written by Paul as well that talks about the birth of Jesus. And for this first week, as we read to the Gospel of Matthew, I want to have a brief context muna of what the book of Matthew is all about. Basically, the book of Matthew, of course, is written by Matthew, the tax collector turned apostle of Jesus. And the book of Matthew was written for a specific group of people. Matthew wrote his gospel account for the Jewish people or the Jewish Christians, those Christians with a Jewish background. And his intent was to teach, to explain to people who Jesus is, why is the Messiah, why is the Savior that they have been waiting for. Jewish people ang main audience niya. And that is why there are some features in the book of Matthew that weighs a lot for Jewish people. Nakatarget to siya for Jewish people. For example, in the first verse of Matthew chapter 1, says here, "The book of genealogy of Jesus Christ, the son of David, the son of Abraham." Matthew opens up that Jesus is the son of David, son of Abraham. Not literally, you know, direct son, but it means a descendant. He comes from the lineage of Abraham and David. And this is very important because as we talk about Jesus being the Messiah, the Jewish people have been waiting in their time, in their culture at this moment, they've been waiting a long time for the Messiah. Okay? It has been prophesied in the Old Testament many times that the Messiah would come. And they've been waiting for it. In fact, if you would split your Bible into 2 parts, the Old Testament and the New Testament. Before the New Testament, there's like 400 years na gap between the last book in the Old Testament and the first book in the New Testament, the book of Matthew. So the Jewish people have been really been waiting a lot. And before the book of Matthew, God had not spoken to any prophet. God had been silent. Okay? Those 400 years were sometimes called the 400 years of silence. And then now, suddenly, God is about to enact or make His plan come into fruition. Okay? He's about to fulfill His promise. That's why big deal ning birth ni Jesus. Right? And Matthew starts that Jesus comes from this genealogy, son of David and son of Abraham. And it's very important because part of their prophecy was that the Messiah would come from the line of David and from the line of Abraham. And this is part of that fulfillment of that prophecy. Matthew is trying to tell the Jewish people or Jewish Christians, hey, Jesus is the Messiah because first, He comes from the line of David. Okay, check. Kung na-check box, qualifications for the Messiah, Matthew is trying to aim all of that in his gospel account. Now, first and foremost, this is his genealogy. Okay? In fact, for the next 16 verses, Matthew lists all of the forefathers or the ancestors of Jesus. Until in verse 17, it says here, so all the generations from Abraham to David were 14 generations, and from David to the deportation to Babylon, 14 generations as well. And from the deportation to Babylon to the Christ, 14 generations. And you can read of this in the book of Matthew, okay? You will see all those names. Okay, those names have a reason. Okay? Sometimes we just skip through it, parang, okay, mangalan lang. But those names are important, especially if you're a Jewish person. They tell you nga, okay, legit ning pagka-claim na Messiah si Jesus. He comes from this line, this genealogy. Now in verse 18, okay, we dive straight naman to the actual story that we're looking into tonight, the birth of Jesus. It says here, now the birth of Jesus Christ took place in this way. This was the setting. When his mother Mary had been betrothed to Joseph, before they came together, she was found to be with child from the Holy Spirit. A couple of things I want to highlight from this one verse alone. And firstly, is the word Christ. Christ from Jesus Christ. Now, I don't know about you, but when I was younger, actually until high school siguro, I used to think that Christ was the last name of Jesus. If he was going to fill up a form, si pangalan ni mo, sir? Ako si Jesus Christ, okay? Ang pangalan sa family kay Christ, we are the Christ. I thought that his last name was Christ, not, you know, like Ricardo is to Brile or Mendoza is to Blaze. Okay, I thought it was like that. But Christ is actually a title attributed to Jesus. Remember, we're talking about Jesus as the Messiah. Firstly, comes from the Greek word Mashiach, okay, if I'm pronouncing it right, which means anointed one or chosen one, okay? And the Greek equivalent, if you're to translate this to Greek, kasi Hebrew pala ng Mashiach, is the word Christos, or in English, Christ. In other words, when you say Jesus Christ, it also means Jesus the Messiah. Christ is not his name. It's a title. Okay? He is the Messiah. Jesus Christ. Jesus the anointed one. Jesus the chosen one. And to be called anointed or chosen means that you were consecrated or set apart to do something important. In the biblical times, when you were anointed, it's either one, you were called to be a prophet. All right, you were called to be a spokesperson for God. God would speak to you and you would speak to the people. Or you were called to be a priest. You would work in the temple of God and serve God. Or you were called to be a king. You were called to lead the people of God. Basically, all of those are important roles. For Jesus, he is the anointed one. His role is much more important because eventually he would fulfill all of those roles as a prophet, as a priest, and as a king. And we're going to talk about that throughout this series. So firstly, I just want to point out that Jesus is the Messiah. Name pa lang niya dahan, okay? He is the Messiah. Now going back to verse 18, it says here as well that Jesus' mother, Mary, was betrothed to Joseph. Now this is part of our understanding sa yung, you know, sa birth niya. Now betrothed means or is like the first stage of marriage in biblical times, okay? In their time, in their culture, we don't really do this now, okay? But in their time, in their culture, it's the first stage of marriage minus consummation. Meaning, when two people would want to get married, sa Jewish tradition, okay, sa atuwa karon, how do people get married? Diba? Mag-propose, hatag og engagement ring, okay, elaborate proposals. But in their time in the culture, it was much more simpler. They would come to an agreement. It's kind of like an arranged marriage of sorts. But it's not just an engagement. They're like married na, okay? They're more than engaged, but they're not yet fully married. That's why Joseph is referred to as Mary's husband and Mary as Joseph's wife. But they're not fully married yet. It's like marriage minus the consummation. What do you mean by this? Remember, God designed sex to be enjoyed and experienced in the context and bounds of marriage. So meaning, these two people, okay, were not yet consummated. They're not yet fully married. Going back to the story, and this is important to note because it says here, before they came together, she was found to be with child from the Holy Spirit. Okay? Before they were formally and finally and completely married, Mary was pregnant. So you can imagine the scandal, the confusion, the anxiety, the problems that this was going to cause in their marriage or future marriage. And indeed, in verse 19, it says here, and her husband Joseph, who was a just man or a righteous man and unwilling to put her to shame, resolved to divorce her quietly. This was a very honor and shame kind of culture, and it was very shameful for an unwedded woman to be pregnant. And so Joseph didn't want to put Mary into shame. He wanted to divorce her quietly. Because the only way to break a betrothal is through a divorce process. Basically, you know, the coming of Jesus was disruptive. When Jesus came into the picture, it changed their lives. There was this, na shake up ang lives nila. Now, I don't mean this for the bad reason, but basically the same thing with us. When we receive Christ, you know, when you became a believer, well, there was a disruption in our lives as well, for the good part. Before you became a believer, you were living your life at a certain way, at a certain lifestyle. Then you, when you receive Christ, when you became a believer of Christ, your life gets shaken up. Some people say an encounter with Christ is like getting hit by a 10-wheeler truck. You won't be the same way again. Diba? Kung may gok truck, of course, di ka ma same way. The same thing with receiving Christ. Okay? It changes our lives. And Mary and Joseph's lives were about to be greatly changed. Okay? But good thing, wala na itabo ang divorce because God intervened. It says here in verse 20, but as he considered, as Joseph considered these things, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, saying, Joseph, son of David, do not fear to take Mary as your wife, for that which is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. God comes to vindicate and affirm that, you know, what Mary claims is true. Kasi imagine if you were Joseph, diba? Your wife-to-be tells you, I'm pregnant, pero don't worry, it's from the Holy Spirit. Okay? Would you really believe that? For some of us, you know, parang listen mo to, parang how convenient, no? Holy Spirit ang i-blame ni mo, damayon pa ni mo si Lord. We wouldn't believe that siguro. But good thing for Mary, you know, God vindicated her, reassured Joseph that it comes from the Holy Spirit. In fact, I like this line where the angel of the Lord tells Joseph, do not fear. Oftentimes when we are called to obey God, we're called to follow God, sometimes we don't automatically get everything. Sometimes it still gets confusing. But one thing we can take courage on, church, is that we don't need to fear. You may not figure out everything completely right away, but as we follow and obey God, may we not fear. Now, Joseph was the same thing. He was called not to fear. And we're going to look into later what his response was after his dream. But in verse 20, it says here, she will bear a son and you shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. And so now, the angel of the Lord tells Joseph the name to be given to this unborn baby inside Mary. And that name was Jesus. All right. And basically from this angelic visitation, Joseph understood three important things. Namely, first, it was God's will for him to be married to Mary. Okay, parang okay lang pala i-marry si Mary. I-marry si Mary. Okay, to be wedded to Mary. He didn't need to be ashamed or worried about it. He might not understood completely why, but God was gonna give him his blessing. Secondly, Mary's pregnancy is supernatural and miraculous. If God said his pregnancy came from the Holy Spirit, and not by any other man out there, not by an extramarital affair, that means it's supernatural. It's beyond normal biological means. And that means, you know, it's miraculous as well. Kasi how often would you hear someone, ay, akong neighbor, nabuntis na po, miraculously. 3 months ago, mupunay tabo niya. Diba? It doesn't just happen in the news regularly or sa social media, you know. It has never happened before. And this is something supernatural and miraculous. And Joseph finally understood it. And lastly, Jesus is the Messiah. What I mean by Jesus is the Messiah? Why it's so important about the Messiah? Ano importante ang Messiah? In verse 21, when we go back to verse 21, the angel of the Lord told Joseph that the name of the unborn child would be called Jesus. He would be called to save his people from their sins. Now, the name Jesus means Jesus or Jehovah is salvation, or God is salvation. Now, I don't know about how our culture now does things, right? But in their time, in their culture, parents would name their children in a certain way. They would name their kids by declaring certain things. Like, ang names of kids for them is like a declaration for the destiny of their children. If you give your child a certain name, that means happy. You're like declaring that your child will be happy. Your child will be joyful. If you're declaring that your name of your child means something like generous, something like mighty or strong, you're declaring that your child means strong or mighty. Now for this son named Mary, the angel of the Lord told Joseph that his name was Jesus. God is salvation. That's a pretty big name. Right? God is salvation. And in fact, it tells about what he is going to do. It says here, his name Jesus, which means God is salvation, for he will save his people from their sins. It speaks as well to what he is to accomplish. In other words, the Messiah is important because the Messiah came for a specific purpose, church. He came to save his people from their sins. It is but that Jewish people have been waiting for such a long time for the Messiah to come to save them. Now, they were also waiting for someone to rescue them from the oppression that they were experiencing from the Roman Empire. But Jesus, the Messiah, came here first and foremost. His first mission was to save his people from the slavery of sin, to rescue them from sin. Verse 22, all this took place to fulfill what the Lord had spoken by the prophet. Matthew quotes another verse in Isaiah saying, "Behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel," which means God with us. Here Matthew, the book of Matthew, the gospel writer, is again quoting another prophecy in the Old Testament saying, this is the Messiah, guys, because look, Isaiah said that the virgin shall conceive, and this virgin now is Mary. But check, lineage to Jesus, son of David, son of Abraham. Now, karun naman, born of a virgin, born from a virgin. Basically, he's telling that this is Jesus, okay? He is the Messiah. He says here, he shall be called Emmanuel, which means God with us. When you say God with us, it means God was among us. And remember, we're talking about the birth of Jesus, okay? Or incarnation. An incarnation means that God became man in the person of Jesus Christ. In other words, to be called Emmanuel means God became man. God clothed himself in human flesh and dwelt among us, became like us, lived among us in the person of Jesus Christ. John 1 verse 14 says, "And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we have seen his glory, glory as of the only Son from the Father, full of grace and truth." The Bible says God came down to this world as Jesus. Can you imagine that? The very God who created the heavens of the earth, the very God who made everything in this world, decided to come down into this world as Jesus. Imagine the thought about that. Parang the God came to this world. And why is this such a big deal, especially for Jewish people? You see, if you remember, last week we had this series called, you know, All That Matters. We talked about faith and finances. We talked about how the Jewish people had this place called the temple, where they would give their tithes, their offerings, their sacrifices. They had a lot of offerings and sacrifices, basically. And one of those offerings was called a sin offering. Basically, the Jewish people would bring animals, okay, pigeons, goats, mga baka, mga sheep, and they would offer these animals to atone of their sins, okay, to get forgiveness for their sins. Every year, they would go to the temple, give it to the priest, offer them, and, you know, believe for forgiveness, and they would be forgiven of their sins for the year. But Hebrews 10:4 tells us that for it is impossible for the blood of bulls and goats to take away sins. It's impossible to completely wash away all our sins with the blood of bulls, goats, and animals. Meaning, the whole system could not last for eternity. Parang dili siya assurance that we would be completely be free from the slavery of sin. The Jewish people had to do it again and again and again and again. Sacrifice and again and again. And that is where the Messiah comes in. When I said a while ago that he was going to come here to save his people from sin, John 1, verse 29, there's this description of Jesus. When John the Baptist saw Jesus, he says, the next day he saw Jesus coming toward him and said, "Behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world." The Bible says Jesus is the Lamb of God, the final sacrifice needed to wash or completely erase our sins, that we may receive forgiveness of our sins, that we don't have to continually offer animal sacrifices. In other words, if Jesus did not come to the picture, if there was no Messiah church, you know what? We'd all come to the Sunday service with our animals. Okay? Every time musaka na 7 p.m. service, "Oy bro, dala ni mo yung kanding ni mo. Wait, siya lagi na yung goat. O lagi. Si dala ni mo karon. Ah, baka akong dala karon. Dagan-dagan kong isacrifice." We would all have to bring animals. It would be very bloody here. You know, there would be blood everywhere. No. Just think about that. No, we don't have to do that. Why? Because Christ was the Lamb of God. Jesus was the Lamb of God. Jesus was the final sacrifice. The coming of the Messiah is important because it is the fulfillment of God's promise to redeem mankind. God promised, or God had this plan a long time ago. Do you guys remember our series called The Story of Us? We had this like 2 months ago. Do you guys remember that? Do you guys remember coming to church 2 months ago? Okay, hopefully. Okay, but if you remember, when we had the Story of Us series, we talked about the fall of man in one of our installments. Mankind sinned. Okay, in the Garden of Eden, they rebelled against God, and because of the sin, they were kicked out of the Garden of Eden. But on that same chapter of the Bible that talks about the sin of man, on that same chapter, God already had this plan in place. Na siya teaser gibutang that of what He was going to do to redeem mankind. And so, no, the Messiah is a big deal because if all the prophecies and all the verses in the Old Testament that talks about the coming of the Messiah were like blueprints to a future building that was gonna rise somewhere, the coming of the Messiah is God's fulfillment. God fulfilling His promise that, yes, I am going to redeem mankind. For His people, the Israelites, they have been waiting a long time for this, hundreds, if not thousands of years. But finally, God has enacted His plan. God has finally come to this world as Jesus. Jesus' birth, Jesus' miraculous virgin birth, okay? It's not just baby lang na tao in this world. That's God coming down to this world. The fulfillment of all those years of waiting and of all those prophecies, all those promises that He has given His people, finally, it is here. Have you ever had that moment that you had a long-standing prayer that you've been praying for such a long time? You know, maybe provision, or maybe for some of you, mag-asawa mo or something, or makapas or something. You've been waiting for a long time and finally, it's here. You finally got it. Okay, how did it feel ba? Wala may prayers. Okay, masyak ko. Wala may prayers. Diba, if you had those prayers, you'd be amazed. Parang, wow, Lord, finally. You can't believe, parang, it's here. And that's how big of a deal the coming of the Messiah is. God's fulfillment coming true. That He actually came through. He actually came as Jesus. He could have done it in so many ways, but He came to this world as Jesus. Clothed Himself in human flesh. In verse 24, it says here, when Joseph woke up from sleep, he did as the angel of the Lord commanded him. He believed. He moved in faith that the unborn child inside Mary is not from an extramarital affair. No, this is the Messiah. This is Jesus. In fact, he knew her not until she had given birth to a son, and he called his name Jesus. He believed what the angel of the Lord told him. Understanding the incarnation or the birth of Christ is embracing the fact that His birth was not just unique, but was divine. It was holy. It was divinely orchestrated. It was made possible by God. You see, if Jesus was not God incarnate, if he was not God in the flesh, and He does not have the capacity to do mediatorial tasks for us, if Jesus was not who He claimed to be, if He was not the Messiah, He could not be the proper mediator or substitute for us to die on the cross for our sins. But because he was not a godly man, but He was the God-man. He was 100% God and 100% man. He was what we needed, our Savior, our Messiah. He came to this world, He was born to this world, but He grew up to be a man to die on the cross for you and me, that we may receive forgiveness of our sins. Basically, church, Jesus is the Messiah. Every time we come together to celebrate Christmas in our homes, with our families, we get reminded of the Christmas story. I hope and I pray that we will not be over familiar with it, but we would look at it with a new appreciation, knowing that, man, this is God's promise coming true. But this happening, Jesus coming to this world, we're the ones who got the benefit as His people, as His believers, being in Christ. All that blessing that we're experiencing, it's all made possible because Jesus came to this world. Because Jesus is the Messiah.
You just heard a message from Victory Dumaguete. For more messages like these, or to access other resources, please visit victorytomaguete.org or like our page on Facebook.